Where peace and contentment reign over the McGee menage today, our hero has just had a good breakfast and is lingering over his second cup of coffee and the morning papers. And here in the dining room at 79 West Provista, we find Fibber, Japers, Crapers. Where'd you get those papers, McGee?
What's all this stuff about them college students swallowing live goldfish? Bet they're just trying to get her out of examination. Well, Maurice Savaglio expected to make American comeback. Well, good for you, Maurice. You can do it, too, if you try hard and keep a stiff lower lip. Come in. Oh, hi, Apple. Have a cup of coffee?
Did you make it?
Yep.
No, thanks. Say, I see you've got the morning papers. Did you read about that collector of antique furniture who's in town? Junius C. Fosgill?
No, what about him?
Well, I was just thinking. He's in town buying up old furniture, and I thought you might make a little dough. Your furniture's the old, isn't it?
Well, now, hey, it is a fact. I remember...
Well, look at that old sofa of yours in the living room, and that four-posted bed you have upstairs. Did you tell me that Napoleon once slept on that bed?
Well, sure, I did. That's what the dealer told me. Judging from the bumpy mattress that come with it, I'll bet Napoleon Force slept on it, too. Well, I bet I can tell a guy some stuff at that.
Well, I thought you'd be interested. Of course, I don't know if your stuff is antique.
Oh, don't worry about that there, Hopper. But the time we get here, it'll look antique. Sure you won't have a cup of coffee, Hopper?
No, thanks. It smells too strong for me.
Mm-hmm.
How do you make coffee, anyway?
Well, how does anybody make good coffee? I get a can of coffee, take the cover off, dump half the coffee out, and fill the can up with boiling water. Yes. Makes enough coffee for 8 or 10 days if you warm it up good.
Well, what do you do with the coffee you have left? Throw it out or use it for fly spray?
That's no good for that. I tried that, Hopple. No good for fly spray. It eats holes in the drapery. Well, thanks for tipping me off to Father Gill, Harpo. And say, if you're going past the hotel, you drop a hint to this antique collector Father Gill and guy and tell him I got a house full of antiques.
Huh? I'll do that, Fibber. I owe you a favor for not insisting that I have a cup of that cheap dip. So long, pal.
Well, now, let's see. Now, how can I make this furniture look antique than it is? Better scratch it up a little. Maybe shoot some wormholes into it with a shotgun. Boy, won't Molly be happy when she comes home and finds I got rid of all this old junk? That ain't Father Gill, folks. He ain't built up enough suspense yet. Come in.
Hello there, Johnny. Want any fresh eggs today?
No, thanks, old-timer.
Hey!
I says, no, we don't want any eggs. Not on this show. We lay our own.
Johnny, but that ain't the way I heard it. The way I heard it, one feller says to the other feller, see where Jim Farley might run for vice president. That's so, says t'other feller. Vice president ain't much of a job for a feller like Farley, is it? No, says the first feller, but if you start out as a mailman, you gotta expect to hold the bag. I fed one of my hens on violets this week, and she made some nice purple ones for Easter.
No thanks.
Oh, that's it.
She laid purple eggs for Easter. I wonder if she laid any for that old buzzard. He's got a face that would stop a cluck. Okay, what was I going to do? Oh, yes, I got to get this furniture ready. I'll bust the glass in that desk so it'll look a little older. Oh, that looks more antique. Tear the upholstery a little on this footstool. Oh. Rip that right leg off this footstool.
And they cut down the old pine tree. And they hauled it away.
Come on.
Hello, Fibber. What are you doing?
Oh, kicking the furniture around, Billy. There's an antique buyer in town, and I'm adding a few years to the life of all my stuff.
It looks battered enough now. Are you familiar with antiques?
Oh, yes, enough, anyway. For instance, you see that love seat there? That's a genuine, authentic antique, William. It's the very love seat where Paul Revere proposed to Cleopatra.
Go on.
Cleopatra was 1,000 years older than Paul Revere. What difference does it make if they really love each other? There's a lot of romance in a piece of furniture like that there, Billy. Can't you just imagine a young lover sitting there on pins and needlepoint? Well, never mind that. How about hearing Don Novus sing this night?
Well, that'll be swell, Billy.
Let him go ahead while I load my shotgun.
Your shotgun?
Yeah, I got to shoot a few wormholes in this furniture. That's a trick I learned from my grandfather, William. He was an antique dealer.
Poor old guy. What happened to him?
Oh, he tried to saw the legs off his old secretary and she swore out a warrant. Go ahead, Billy. This night. Nice going, Don. You can sit this night for me any day.
Well, thanks, Fibber. But please don't point that shotgun at me.
Oh, don't worry about that shotgun. It ain't loaded. I was just going to show you.
Gee, that was wonderful, Fibber.
Was.
You knocked out the front window. What did you do with a loaded gun?
We all make mistakes.
Most people don't make more than one with a shotgun.
Oh, so you don't think I know anything about firearms, eh? I guess you didn't know I used to be a champion shoot shooter.
Oh, did you?
Why, sure I did. Well, I used to go out in the morning with my dog and gun and come back just loaded down with sheep. It was good eating, too. Little gamey, but good.
You ever try a clay pigeon with wild rice?
Now you're jacking me.
Well, what were you going to use the shotgun for anyway?
I'm going to shoot some wormholes in the picture to make it look more antique. Sit down, Don, and watch me.
No, thanks. I've been allergic to shotguns ever since I was a kid and stole watermelons. The farmers used to fire rock salt at us.
Did you ever get hit?
Yes, once.
I thought so. They say the best way to tame a bird is to put salt on it.
Oh, you're going, Don?
Yeah, I gotta go. See you later.
Let's
see now. I better start with the panel. I'll saw the top off that so it'll look like an old-fashioned loading. I'm going to have a fine bunch of antiques here very shortly. Now, if I can only get... What's that? That couldn't be Father Gill. He wouldn't be riding up on a horse. Or maybe he expects to jockey me on the prize. Come in.
Well, for goodness sake, the Royal Canadian Mounted Policeman.
What do you want, Paul Dark and Handsome?
Are you Fibber McGee, sir?
Yes, I am, Bud, but what do you have?
Well, I'm Sergeant Wilcox, sir, of the Mounted.
Oh.
Just rode down to welcome you to the Canadian Network tonight.
Oh, thanks.
Hands across the border and all that sort of thing, you know?
Well, thanks, Sergeant. It's nice to know there's two countries who can reach their hands across the border without shaking their fists at each other. Certainly appreciate your coming in.
Well, I'm delighted, sir. And may I ask what you're doing with a saw and hammer?
I'm antiquing some furniture, Bud. Getting ready to sell some old stuff to a collector.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting lot of stuff. Hey, those old manuscripts on the desk there should be worth a lot. May I see them? Why, a collection of old jokes, isn't it? Imagine anyone laughing at those old quips.
Hey, put that down, Bud. That's our next week's program.
Sorry, sir.
You familiar with our show up there, Sergeant?
Oh, yes. Splendid product you have, too, old man.
Okay,
though it makes hard work for us policemen.
Now, how can that be? Johnson's wax makes work a lot easier.
No, not for us. Why, just last month, I trailed a criminal for 300 miles. Just as I was closing in on him, he walked through a house in Saskatchewan and disappeared.
Disappeared? He had that one?
Yes. The owners of the house had used Johnson's wax, and we couldn't find a single fingerprint on the furniture or woodwork or a single footprint on the floor.
Well, I suppose you heard about the special limited offer Johnson's wax has on sale now, a giant-sized can, tasted liquid with an extra surge, free.
No, but I'll speak to Inspector McTavish about it. He's a rare one for a bargain.
Inspector McTavish, eh? Wonder if he's the same one I worked with when I was a mounted policeman up there.
Oh, were you a mountie?
Was I? You mean to say you never heard of me up there?
Why, shut, Sergeant.
I was once known from Vancouver to Quebec for my capers up there. Canadian Capers McGee, I was known as in one day. Canadian Capers McGee, the coolest, cleverest, crimson-coated cop who ever crept carefully through the team, cutting coal to capture a crook, continually cantering across country to crack a conspiracy or keep constant control of criminals coming into Canada, and the continent's craftiest constable from Columbia's colossal trees to the colorful cabins of Lake Louise. Yes, sir, and the way I used to run out of the barracks and leap onto the back of my horse for my dead run was something to see. Hey, you got your horse outside there?
Yes, sir, tethered to the porch, sir.
Well, open the door and I'll show you how I used to leap into the saddle.
Well, I'd like to see it, sir.
Well, here I go. Watch this.
Oh, good heavens. What happened, sir?
Oh, what do you mean, what happened? There ain't no horse out there.
Oh, no, sir, not out there. I tied the animal to the back porch.
Oh, dear.
Sorry you misunderstood.
Ooh.
Well, I must be going now, sir. Welcome to Canada, old man.
Oh.
Cheerio.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. First time I ever been saddle sore without even being on a horse. Well, I better get busy before old Fothergill comes to look at my antique. Hold it, cut down the old pine tree and hold it away to the mill. Hey, this stuff is beginning to look like something. Maybe I better check up and see if old Fothergill is really coming over here before I batter up any more of this stuff. Call him up. Hello, operator. Give me the commercial house. I want to... Oh, is that you, Merch? Hi, Merch. Certainly do. How's everything, Merch? Hey, I seen your brother on the street this morning. Yeah, he sure looks proud in that new sweater of his with the big HC on it. Where's he going to school, Merch? Harvard College? Huh? Oh, House of Healthy. Say, give me the commercial house, will you, Merch? Thanks. Oh, they chop down the old pine tree and hold it away. Hello? Commercial house? Let me talk to Mr. Genius T. Fothergill, will you? He's gone out here to see a man named McGee.
Uh-oh.
Well, never mind.
Oh, boy, he's on his way.
Hot dog. Come in, Fothergill.
Mr. McGee.
Hi, Effie. I mistook you for an antique collector. A guy named Julius T. Fothergill. I expect him over here any minute.
Oh, really? Well, now, that's exactly what I wanted to see you about, Mr. McGee. You see, I'm telling him a few pictures of my own collection. You know, the Uppington family is simply full of antiques.
Upping just issued engraved invitation to a wise crack there, but I ain't got the heart. Did you come over here to tell me about Fothergill?
Oh, no, Miss McGee. You remember that footstool you borrowed from me last week?
The footstool. Yes, I kind of forgot that was yours, Happy.
Oh, my God, it is.
Yes.
Oh, good heavens, Miss McGee. Why, you've ruined it. And that's been an Uppington heirloom for generations.
Oh.
Why, there hasn't been a seam in our family that hasn't rested on that footstool. Really, Mr. McGee, how could you?
Oh, it wasn't hard. I just took the hammer and went to it. If you just leave it to me, Uppy, I'll sell it for you for a lot more than you could.
Oh, yeah. Well, all right. I don't mean to be a silly girl about it, Mr. McGee, but I do hope you know what you're doing.
You trust me, Uppy. I know my antiques. For instance, you see that little wooden clock up on the wall there?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Cuckoo, isn't it?
Little, but it's cute. My great-great-grandfather made that clock, Uppy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was always thinking of clocks. Made one for a friend of his once, a barber, and put a little hen into it instead of a cuckoo. And every morning, the little door would fly open, and the little hen would pop out and say, cut, 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 and the barber would get up and go to work.
Well, now, that's very interesting. But do you think Mr. Fothergill will be...
Quiet, Uppy. I want to hear how that cuckoo clock sounds. It's going to strike. Cuckoo.
Cuckoo.
Imagine that. Wasn't that clever, Grandpa? He put a quartet in it. What's he going to sing, kid? The cuckoo in the clock. Okay, give it to work. Remind me to give you a little extra bird food this week. Well, I guess I better get back to work. Oh, I cut down the coffee table to make it as old as I was able. Oh, I cut down. Better hide these tools. Come in.
Oh, hello there, Susan. How is your face being so full of perspiration?
I've been working, Nick. I've been aging my furniture. Going to sell it to a big antique collector.
I don't mean to tell you.
Yeah, I've been kind of doctoring it up.
so as to look older.
Why, for scripture? Would you be guilty of deceiving an appearance for the sake of making a profit, Caesar?
Why, certainly, wouldn't you?
Sure, every time.
Incidentally, Nick, have you got any antiques? Any period furniture?
Period furniture? Oh, sure. We're having a little stuffed over suit city, Daddy. Stuffed over suit city, Daddy.
A little what?
A little stuffed over suit city.
Stuffed over suit city? Oh, you mean an overstuffed Davenport.
Stuffed over suit city.
Sure. And I stand connected. I knew he'd be in some place in Iowa, but this little stuffed over Davenport is being a nice thing, Fisher. It has got upholstery with polka dots all over it. But it's being enough period, Ned. One piece of the furniture can make a great
deal. No. Why, first, I tell you, furniture, Nick, you mean, William and Mary, Pepperwhite and Colonial and early Americans, Louis the 14th and all stuff like that.
Oh, and I think that is all being a lot of saucy apples, Fisher. If the chair is being a good place to sit on, what difference is it making whether it is William and Mary, early colloquial, heifer puss, or lousy the 14th?
I'm afraid you just don't appreciate nice things, Nick.
Yes, it would be a nice thing if I appreciated nice things, but I haven't, so I don't. But speaking of a furniture, it is like I was saying to Mrs. Populous last night. When she was saying she would like to go downtown and buy a new ornamental rug.
Oriental.
Why not? Anyway, when she's saying that to me, I'm saying, listen, Mrs. DePopulis, I'm saying, while she's having the radio on very loud and listening to the Lone Rangefinder. Listen, Mrs. DePopulis, I'm saying, and then she's turning the radio to hear Robert Cray.
Robert Cray? Oh, you mean Bob Hope.
Sure. Oh, well, Hope and Cray, what is the difference here?
Well, what did you tell Mrs. DePopulis about buying the Oriental rug?
Nothing. Just then, she's getting some pretty music by the Philadelphia Symphony Orchestra. And it's nice for me to be quiet with the rolling pin. So I guess I know when I'm well out to the drugstore to buy me some cigars. Well, so long, Caesar. Don't forget to come and see us sometime. Any time you're dropping in, pass by.
Well, I guess I'm just about all set for old Fothergill. I'll take one more whack at that easy chair. Uh-oh, I bet that's him. Come in.
How do you do? You mean it's Doc?
Not now, sis. The show's nearly over. You could have used some in the first 20 minutes.
You don't understand. I represent the Wilkie Filkie Factory Corporation, and I'm taking orders for our new spring line. May I show you some samples?
No, thanks, sis. I go barefoot cutting first of May.
Well, don't stub your toes, Junior.
First gal. Wilkie Filkie Stocky Corporation. I should have told her I represented the John C. Wansky Waxy Company. Oh, I better get these splinters picked up before Father Gill gets through. I'll have to pick up a collection to buy a sound effects man some new knuckles. Come in.
Good day, sir. Mr. McGee, I believe.
You betcha, bud. You the gentleman who wanted to look at the furniture?
Yes, I am. How did you know?
Oh, I've been expecting you. Have a cigar?
Thank you. I have one.
You got two? Thanks.
They tell me you have a very valuable collection of antiques here, Mr. McGee.
Oh, I have. Very valuable.
What would you estimate its value, Mr. McGee?
Oh, I don't know, bud. Aside from the sentimental value, I'd say it was worth at least, well, in the neighborhood of roughly speaking about, well, at a guess, somewhere in the... Well, what would you say?
Well, I'd much rather you put your own price on it, McGee.
You would? Oh, that's swell. Well, now you take that guess there. I'd say about 3,000 for that one piece.
3,000? Is that all?
Is it? Well, that's without the drawers, of course. With the drawers, I'd say 5,000. Now, how about that footstool, bud? That's interesting, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it certainly is very interesting. Fairly modern, isn't it?
Oh, no, that's a genuine Uppington. I know the Uppington family personally. Remember the old furniture designers, Uppington, Downworthy, and Roundweather? Their trademark was up, down, and around. That footstool is worth at least 2,000, bud.
Is that so? Well, that seems like a fair price.
It does? Well, I don't know. Well, what do you think of the rest of the stuff, bud?
Well, frankly, I don't know when I've seen such a
motley collection of furniture.
I guess you know your stuff, bud. There ain't a piece in the lot that ain't a genuine motley.
Yeah, that's very good. Or is it? Now, what value would you place on the entire lot, McGee?
The whole mess, eh? Well, frankly, bud, I'm making the estimate low on account of you seem to be a nice guy. Let's make it a fair and square 20,000. No, 25,000. That's it. That's my final figure.
That's very fair. I'll settle for 25,000.
Done. We better close the deal quick because this stuff is getting more antique every minute.
Yeah. Deal? What deal?
Well, buying the stuff, ain't you?
Buying it? Why, no. Who do you think I am?
Ain't you Father Gill, the antique collector?
No, I'm Wallaby, the tax assessor.
The tax one? Awesome. Has already welcomed our new listeners tonight on the Canadian Network, and I want to extend a welcome on behalf of our little company and myself. We hope our northern neighbors will enjoy our shows and will join us each Tuesday night from now on. Incidentally, our next week's broadcast is our 200th program for Johnson's Wax, and we're happy to announce that we'll have another visit from our old friend, Razor Pitt. Good night, folks.
Wax production and bargain dress shop, lots of women have never learned how to sew a seam. Or so it would seem. But there's a gal at 79 Whistle Vista who was brought up to see eye to eye with the needle and who always knows where the bodice is buried. Yes, it's Molly McGee of Fibber McGee and Molly.
Hey, kiddo, what are you making? Hey, Tootsie, what goes with throbbing bobbin? Hey.
Speaking of me, dearie?
Yeah. Let the sewing machine cool off for a minute. My gosh, I haven't heard a singer take so much abuse since Hope started ribbing Crosby. What are you making?
I'm making a new dress. Watch those patterns, dearie. Don't mess them up. I have them all laid out the way I want them.
Oh, okay.
If you change them around, I'm liable to wind up with a gownless evening dress.